Good evening.
Good evening.
It'll warm up. Anyway, good evening. I have good news for you. And I shall read the good news. You are a powerful, eternal spirit imbued with the Christ consciousness and here with a mission to fulfill and lessons to learn. A spirit of infinite honor and integrity that has a connection to all the knowledge that when I use the word Christ consciousness, it's just a higher form of consciousness, so that you don't think that it has anything to do with Christianity whatsoever. Anyone can be Christed. Anyone can obtain a Christ consciousness. Jesus Christ. Christ was not Jesus' last name. He was a Christed person because of his consciousness. And anyone, as I say, any religion, there are different terms for it. In this case, they just use the Christ consciousness. But the whole idea is to realize that you are connected to something. And that you have the honor and you have the integrity already within you. And that you are connected to all the information that is available in the universe. And that is because we live, we move, and we have our being in the mind of God. And this mind that we use, this finite mind, is connected to the infinite mind. You have to know that and realize that and be able to raise your thinking and connect to that. And how do you do all those things? One way is by knowing and asking for it, believing in it, imagining it, and it will happen for you. How many people here have gone to bed not knowing the answer to something and woke up in the morning with the answer? How do you think you do that? There's only one mind. That mind knows the answer. Sometimes when we struggle so much with this little mind of ours, we cannot figure it out. As soon as we stop thinking and allow the big mind to drop in, we get the answer to it. So know that. Know that you're connected with this power. This whole teaching is based on the idea of unity. And when we say unity, it doesn't mean that we're all connected, which we are, but it means we're united with this power, this thing that we call God. And that everything is united to this thing that we call God. And this is what we want to know, that we are not separate from God at all. God is right here, right now. And God is living, moving, and having its being through me. And I am living, moving, and having my being through God. We are one in the same. The creation and the creator are one in the same. And these are the thoughts to pass through your mind and to pass through your consciousness so that you will eventually believe this. You see, we have to train ourselves to believe it. Because all our lives, we've been told something different. And we've been told a lot of falsehoods. Sometimes intentionally. Sometimes out of pure ignorance and stupidity. And a lot of times out of the idea of control. So, we have to reanalyze what we've been told. Especially about this thing that we call God, this power that we have. This teaching, although people have made it into a religion, is not a religion. But it's something that you do religiously. But they do have New Thought churches and Science of Mind churches. And they call them churches. And they do that simply because of a tax break. It has nothing to do with anything else. But it is a wonderful philosophy, and if you do it religiously, and you learn how to do this absolutely correctly, wonderful things will come into your life. But nothing is going to come into your life till you realize that you are connected to that power, that you are that power. And when you realize that, and you realize that you are totally worthy, deserving, and lovable, your whole life will change in front of you. Things will happen for you that never happened before. And it's done. You've heard before. The whole idea is love. But we say God is love. We also say, what, love makes the world go round? Well, love makes everything go round. But what we fail to see, and we were not taught, that they're talking about love for yourself. Love for yourself. You have to have that. Oh, good. We'll hold up a minute. Here come followers. Hello. Good evening. We haven't seen you for a long time. It's nice to see you back. Your child must be this big by now.
Four.
So, this is Kat and her husband, Eric. She used to come to the class 4 years ago, because they came to the class when she was carrying inside of her your child.
Yeah.
Yes. So they're back to learn more. So where was I? Anyway, unity. And you have to realize that you are connected to God. You have to realize that, so that you can ask for anything that you want, and so that you know that you're going to get whatever you want. I had a client today who said she always has to come up with the whys for something, you know, and we were taught that as children. I want a bicycle, why? And then you had some, because the neighbor kid has one, because of this, because I'm old enough now, because it's my birthday, because. You had to come up with all the whys. This power that we're talking about, this thing that we call God, all you have to do is want and desire something. You do not have to explain yourself. You do not have to say, and I want it because of this, 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 and this. All you have to know is that you want it. And then you have to open yourself to receiving that. There's no whys involved with it whatsoever. You have to realize that this thing that we call God wants to give you everything. It's the only way that God can come through this plane of action, by giving us what we want. Got it in, and it never holds anything back. Remember, it gives the Father great pleasure to give you the kingdom. To give your Father great pleasure to give you the kingdom. So ask for the kingdom, and ask for what you want, and ask for more of what you want, and keep asking and asking and asking. And you will receive. You will receive that. And that's information. That's anything else that you want. You ask and you will get it. These techniques, if you want to call them that, will work. They work for everybody. And I know they work because I use them. Now I'm going to have Jeff explain his thing. Last week when we were talking about treatment, which we're going to do more tonight, we talked about the whole idea of sending your spirit before you and making the way clear. I have talked about that so many times to everybody, and we seem to forget that idea. We seem to forget that we have that power, that we can send ourselves and our spirit ahead of us to make the way clear for everything that you do. With that, Jeff will tell his story.
I had an audition a week ago Friday, and made a conscious effort to do just what he said. I've just not done it. You know, he sits here and tells us this stuff, and we go, yeah, okay.
I went to
go about our business all week. And so I went, you know, I go into these auditions every week, and there's always that feeling of trepidation, and there's always that, you know, it's like, why have that? And I just kind of put it out there as I was driving down to say, you know, I'm sending my love for the casting director and everybody there involved in the project, and just sending that over and over. That's all I basically did all the way down there. And I got there, and for one of the first times, you know how you look around the room and people that are actors. You look around the room and you go, oh, that guy's going to get it, or that guy, you know, that guy, well, he looks the part, you know. And I walked in and went, wow, I look the part more than anybody else in this room. I'm going to get this, you know, and kept doing that. So then I go in, and this just proves how powerful this is, because I went in and subsequently argued with the casting director during the audition, and still wound up getting on a veil, like, you know, on Monday, my agent called me, put me on the veil for it. It was a pretty big print job, but basically it was for print, so they were just taking pictures. But she said, give me a pleasant smile, and I was supposed to be playing a surgeon. And so I just thought, oh, a pleasant smile, that's with no teeth and just looking, you know, bedside manner. And then she goes, no, show me some teeth. What's wrong with you? And I go, well, you said a pleasant smile. That means no teeth. And we went back and forth. And so then I went like this, and she took the picture with me doing it like that. And she goes, well, that looked fake. And I go, I know, it was fake. And it just never ended. And so I said, okay, just give me a second. And I turned around, you know, and just went, it's all going to be okay. And just turned back around, gave a big smile, and then we did the shot of me, like, as if I was operating, looking down on her. She laid on the floor and took pictures, which is actually what the whole print job was. But anyway, and... you know, why haven't I been doing this all the time? I mean, it really overcame everything that you usually feel at the audition. It just completely overcame all of that. To the point, like I said, you look around and go, oh, that guy looks more like a lawyer than me or something. You know, just do these things to yourself. And just having that up front took all that out of the way, including the arguing and everything. And I told my agent about the arguing. He said I was on the thing. He thought it was funny.
With that said, he said something very important here. And what he said was, we do this to ourselves. You have to realize that everything that you do, you're doing to yourself. There is no one outside of you doing anything. There is nothing on this plane of action doing anything. On this plane of action is a plane of effects only. There are no causes on this plane of action, people. No causes, only effects. And what you see here is effects. And what people try to do is they try to take an effect and make it a cause, and you cannot do that. All cause comes from within. All cause comes from your mind, from your thinking. And you are always the cause under your own experience. What that means is that you have the freedom to think of anything the way you wish to think about it. And if you think that that person is doing something to you, you're choosing that. You're doing that. But the person is doing absolutely nothing to you. You're allowing your mind to do that. You're allowing your mind to say, Carol came in tonight and said, oh, I didn't think you liked me anymore, blah, 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 blah. That was all in her mind. She was doing that. I happen to think she's a lovely woman. I happen to think we missed her. And I even said to Rhoda, where has she been? We talked about her. But you see what your mind does? It's always telling you something. Your mind is never going to tell you the truth, people. Your mind is always going to lie to you. You have to get used to that. Your mind is not going to be your friend. It was never your friend, and it's never going to bring you any good news. So stop looking for your mind to bring you any good news.
My mind has been lying to me a lot this week. Like six people in my life to do with business, they're just not returning calls or emails for like 2 weeks. And I've been, I guess, on some level overcompensating and calling again, saying, you know, I left you a message, what happened? I don't know where this came from. It's doing my head in, because I'm like, why would these people who are apparently dependable in the past suddenly stop? And not one, not two, like six. I don't understand it.
All right, I can. I understand. And I will tell you. 2 or 3 weeks ago, you were down in absolute dumps, and you thought everything was going down the tubes. Then all of a sudden, something happened, and you were on the upswing, and all these people were coming to you, and you were making tons of money. And then your mind says, ah-ha-ha, something's wrong here. I can't have all this. And you changed your thinking. so the people stopped. Then you panicked, and you thought, what's going on here? Then you got desperate. Then you called them, instead of sitting very calmly, sending your spirit out so that the phones will ring again. And you're used to this. This is a cycle you have, isn't it? So don't tell me you don't know what you're doing. You see, we want to think it's something else. It's always you. It's always you. It's nothing. If you want those people to sit down, you sit down and know that you're worthy, loving, and deservable. That you can handle all the money in the world. That money is always coming to you. That you can handle that. The phones stop, you sit down, and you bless those people. You thank those people. You send those people love. You send your spirit out. The phones will ring again. But when you get desperate, you start to shrink, and your consciousness shrinks, and you bring yourself in, and you circle the wagons to protect what you already have. And when you circle the wagons, nothing's going to come in. Does that make sense? Yes. Always you. See, life is very simple. You want to know the answer, ask yourself. You want to know the problem, ask yourself. We're doing it all. Once you realize that you're doing it all, you have complete freedom in this world to do anything. Because you have to realize that you're the star, you're the producer, you're the director, and you're the scriptwriter of your life. You're doing it all. If you have a lousy script, you wrote it.
Well, along those lines, remember my mother passed away at the end of June, so July was rather slow. And then I was gone in August, but I worked with 3 clients since March and April. I'm a general contractor. And they hadn't called back, and I just simply detached, just what you're talking about, from them calling, what they were up to. I didn't chase them around. I knew what work I'd put in. And I really worked on, sending my spirit before me and detaching. And I worked on a computer today, so I know the exact date. Since September 22nd, I've written $100,000 worth of contracts. But the detachment.
Yes.
And not being desperate.
As soon as you get desperate, your energy shuts down. As soon as you get desperate, your energy goes. You cannot get desperate. You have to know that money's always freely circulating in your life, that you're always one with God, that abundance and prosperity are everywhere, and that you absolutely deserve those, and you want those right here and right now. You see? And it'll come to you. It'll come. So that's the good news tonight. Now, last week I got so wound up talking, we forgot race mind alert. And we're always looking out for race mind. Here's the latest race mind. It happened the other week. It was on the radio. And they were asking everyone to go to Anaheim to a home show so that you could see all the latest things and that you could have a kitchen that would be the envy of the neighborhood. The envy of the neighborhood. Envy is not what we're about. The world's always about envy, and they use envy as a motivation. In this teaching, we do not envy anybody. We applaud them for what they have. We say, please get more. Because the more that those people have, the more that you're going to get. So we leave envy out. But the rest of the thing is, not only did they say, so that you could be the envy of the neighborhood, they then went on to tell you that it was being held at the Angels Coliseum. You see, those two, angels and envy, do not go together. You and envy do not go together. Don't envy anybody. Say, geez, look what all they have. And what God can do for them, God can do for me. And I'm getting close to them to find out how the hell they did it. And then go find out how they did it. That's the way it's done. Would you pass that around, please? I'm passing money around. It happens to be my money. No. That's the whole point. Pass it around this way. $100. Just go like that and smell that money and pass it off.
Do we take one of them?
No, we don't take one.
See the stack of $100 bills? You can feel the weight of them. You can smell them. You can see them all neatly done. Now, for prosperity, we're looking at this. We're seeing that. We're doing all this. How many people go to the bank and ask for money wrappers? How many people have money wrappers around their house? How many people have them on the refrigerator? How many people have them in a drawer, so when you open up a drawer, you see money wrappers?
What are money wrappers?
I thought you went money. They're money wrappers.
She's doing rap music.
Money.
What, they give them money away at the bank?
Pardon?
They give them away at the bank?
Yeah. They give them away if you ask for them.
Oh.
Remember, ask and ye shall receive. Anytime I want anything, I ask for it. And I go to the bank and I say, I want money wrappers. They say, do you have money? I said, yes, I have money, but I didn't bring it with me. And then they give me the money wrappers.
As far as that's concerned, I was at AAA today doing some trip planning, and the guy had under his monitor, he had a bunch of these little gold coins from the Disney pirate movie, the gold doubloons, and he said a little girl was in earlier. She was helping her mother, and she saw those, and so he gave her one. And her mother said, "Well, what do you say?" And she said, "Could I have another?" And he gave her another. Oh, yeah. They bottle this, don't they?
Yes.
Actually, there's some candles that you can get that,
yes,
that smell like money.
Yeah.
I save $1 bills till I get 100 of them, and it takes me always 1 month to save $100. I could probably save more, but I just do that. Does anyone here save $100 a month? Yes. And it's easy to save, and if you're not saving it, all you do is don't buy a bowl of Starbucks coffee one day, and you'll have $2 or $3. But have money around. Feel money. Know what the weight of it is. Know what the smell of it is. And count money as much as you can. I once had $24,000 in cash in ones and twenties. Ones, fives, tens, twenties. I had it all over my dining room table, down the chairs, into the living room, up over the couch. Yeah. I sat there and said, I'm in my counting house. You know. Rolling in dough. Smells good, doesn't it? I keep it in with incense. Yes. Yes. It's the weight.
The weight of 100 ones is the same as the weight of 100 hundreds.
Yes. We're going to show that.
Doesn't know the zero difference, does it?
She might as well give the talk.
Oh, he said it.
He might as well give the talk.
We'll give it to him.
I did a suitcase filled with things.
That's a number, huh? It doesn't happen.
Always one.
It's lovely to have a so, definitely.
My turn, man.
All right. Getting nervous?
No. Time is ticking.
Tick tock, Clarice.
Same weight, now it's $1,000. Yeah, we can pass it faster.
Pass it faster.
You see, it's absolutely true. You can't tell the difference. The weight is the same, the smell is the same. The universe does not know. If that's $1, $100, or now it's coming around as $1,000. This is what you have to remember. So many people can stretch your consciousness to 100, but they cannot stretch it to $1,000. $1,000.
It's actually 10,000, isn't it?
Yeah. Pardon?
It's actually $10,000. That can make 10.
No, it's 1,000. But it would be, yes, but that's just 1,000 because they're all tens now.
Oh, because you put on the chart and put $100 there.
No, I'm waiting for you to do that. I'm going to send this around. This came to me today. This is a thank you. And this is the way this works. Dear Dallas, wanted to send part of my tithe to you this month for the spiritual reminder to love myself. I need to remind myself of that, and you did. Please continue knowing that my condo sells and blah, 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 blah. I'm sending this around because, remember, I go always to the mailbox looking for checks. Always. Well, the next... By the time it gets to Carol, she'll know. So anyway, this young man was a minister, by the way. Even ministers forget to know that they have to love themselves. When he stopped loving himself, his real estate business was not doing as well. Now he's learning to love himself, and it's all coming back to him. So then he tithes this to me. Here, put that one on my talk. Take the 10 out. And put that on. So anyway, what came in the mail today was a check for $1,000.
Oh.
Now, not only did that $1,000 come back to me, in about May, I think, I sent off $1,000 to a friend who needed, didn't ask, but I knew they needed it, with no strings attached whatsoever. I gave that $1,000 up. But I knew that it would return to me. I just didn't know when. So today it returned to me. Now, yes, from a different source. But who cares? Because the only source there is God. And God chose Vince to send back the money. To send back the money. Now what's coming around is $2,000. Same weight, same everything. So try to remember that. If you can make a dollar, you can make $100,000. It's all the same. It's all energy. And it has to do with what you think you deserve and how far you can stretch your consciousness to make that work for you. Last week, we talked about treatment. We're going to talk a minute again so that we get this treatment thing down. As I say, treatment's just a form of prayer. You can call it anything that you want. We discussed last week about putting feeling into it, putting emotion into it when you're doing it, and feeling that. So if you want a new car, you're sitting in the car, you're feeling the car, you're driving the new car, you're taking it for a test drive, you're smelling the upholstery, you're rubbing yourself against it, you're getting the feel, and you must get that feel. Then the next step that you must do is the car that you have now, you must treat as though it were the new car. And you must see yourself. When you get behind the car, your car that you have now, you cannot let your mind say, oh, this old junk heap. You have to get through and say, ah, I'm driving my Mercedes. Then you have to start treating the car as though it were a Mercedes. That means getting it washed, getting it tuned up, taking good care of it. Once you make a treatment and you say, I want the new car and I want a Mercedes and yada yada, now you must live at the level of your demonstration. And I talked about that before, and I think I'll explain it more to you what that means. When you say, I am rich, and money is always freely circulating in my life, and I always have a divine surplus, and money always comes to me in the mail, I always pay my bills on or before time, then you must sit down and do that. You must live at that demonstration. So if you want to be rich, you have to start being around people with more money than you have, talking to people, not to your friends who say, oh, I can't make ends meet, I can't do this, I can't do that. If you start to say that you're rich, then you have to start having that conversation with rich people. You have to see what they're doing. You have to take those manifesting trips to the better stores and so forth. Pop your head into a good restaurant. See what the menu is. You don't have to eat in them. Go in and look at the menu and see the prices. And don't go, oh, I don't. You know, get used to those prices. And know that you can afford that. But you have to live at the level of your demonstration. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. But you see, we don't. We give a demonstration, then we go right back to the other thing. And we don't do it. I was very blessed this week to talk to my cousin. I love talking with my cousin because she's filthy rich. So we're talking and she's saying, you know, Dallas, it's getting a little dark and damp and dismal here in Pennsylvania. And I think I'll just head off to Palm Beach. Because she has a place in Palm Beach. And she said, I think I'll fly down Thursday. Now here's the catch that I love to do. Oh, are you taking your plane? Well, yes, I am. Isn't that wonderful that you could say to somebody, you're taking your plane? Well, yes, I am. That certainly ups your consciousness. That ups the whole ante of things. You have to be around people like that. You have to find people like that. Somebody to talk to. Because you always want to bring yourself up in life, not down in life. And you can't build a prosperity consciousness if you're around people who are penny pinchers, who when you go out, they don't want to leave the tip, and they do this, that, and the other thing. That's not good That is not good to be around those people. I'm not saying anyone in here, but can you see? Can you see how that helps your consciousness? You cannot say I'm rich and then not know where Rodeo Drive is or Beverly Hills. Go to the different things. I had a friend, Harry. Aha, loved Harry. Harry and I used to go on Sundays. He loved to look at real estate. He loved to look at big houses. We would always go to Beverly Hills to all the open houses. And we would drive up, of course, in his Rolls Royce. And we'd go through all these houses. We didn't buy any of them. They were $10 million at that time, you know. But we were able to look, and we were able to see, and we were able to know that that stuff exists. And this is what you have to know. How can you build your consciousness? How can you do what you want to do in life if you don't look around, if you don't see that there are other possibilities, if there are bigger things out there? You can't do it. Why do you think people that are born in the ghetto live in the ghetto all the time? How are they going to get themselves out of the ghetto when that's all they see? You know, they don't have transportation to get out. They don't have anything to get out. Everything is dark and dismal there. Everything, they think all stores are barred up, you know, have the bars on them and all that. Very difficult because, that's their life. That's all they're seeing. You have to get out and see what the rest of the world is doing and what it's like to build a consciousness and to build your prosperity consciousness. But learn to live at the level of your demonstration. And learn to know, like with anything, if you give money out, it's going to come back to you. You may not know when, but it's going to come back to you. Remember, I once took my friend Betty to a seminar because Betty was a very frugal lady, and I'm so delighted that she was frugal. But, yes, she was would not pay the $50. I said, here, I'm paying the $50. You're going to this. Well, that opened her up into a whole new life. Betty has since made her transition. And from that $50 that I gave her, I have received back from that to date about $24,000. From giving $150 away. So you have to know that. I'm not saying just rush out and throw your money around. But when you give something, know that you're going to get back. That's why the whole idea of giving and receiving, you just keep giving, you just keep receiving, things just keep coming and going and coming and going. It's amazing. It's amazing. I don't go through a week without getting gifts of all kinds. People bring me things all the time or send me things. And that's what you have to do with yourself. You have to let yourself open for that. And look at different things. And they will just keep coming to you. But live at the level of your demonstration. How many people here want a car and they never go to the car dealership? They never even get into the car they want. Oh, I want a Jaguar. Have you ever been in one? Why, no. Well, I doubt you're going to get one. You have to go around. You have to see what it is. And everyone says, well, I'm going to because it's too expensive. I go to everything, and it's not expensive. Not expensive. Not if you look. The Amazon. This on Saturday to see that light in the piazza. My friend Marilyn took me. She bought the tickets. We had orchestra tickets, center row. $95. That's abundance. That's prosperity. And I'm delighted to be around Marilyn because she talks money all the time. She has a wonderful prosperity consciousness. She wouldn't think of not having the best seat in the house.
Okay, so I'm a little confused because I worked really hard on opening my consciousness. So today I heard myself say to my partner, because we started this little tradition where the day after Thanksgiving we go wine tasting with a bunch of friends and we get a limo. And this year there's going to be less people. So I say to her, how about if I just, I'm the one that doesn't really drink. So how do I say, why don't I just drive and you guys can drink and have a lot of fun and we can save the money that it's going to cost us to do the limo because we're going on a cruise in at the end of December. So I feel myself like, yes, I can afford to go pay the limo, but do I really want to spend that money when we're going into the Caribbean at the end of the year? So it's like I kind of like didn't know how to, if that was narrowing my consciousness or being better with my money or what it was. I didn't even know where to put it. And so I was sort of confused. And finally I just said, if you want to take the limo, we'll go. I mean, it's not that I don't have the money. It's just that I didn't know what to do with it.
All right. Let me see. Even when you're shaking, even when you're shopping at Kmart, you must have a Neiman Marcus consciousness. And it's all right to be frugal. Saving coupons is prosperity. It's making money for you. If you can, if you want to save that little bit of money, you save that little bit of money. I will tell you a story. On Saturday, this coming Saturday, I want to go to Royce Hall to a Japanese dance troupe that's out there. So I call to get the ticket. The tickets are $26, but there's a $3 service charge and a $4 something, $7 extra added onto it. And I hear my mind, what's it all about? What's this, that, and the other thing? I had to stop myself and say, Dallas, it's $7. You want to go. You have the money. Why are you complaining about $7? Because I heard my father say, never be nickel and dime to death. Don't pay service charges. Don't pay these little things and this, that, and the other thing. So I changed my consciousness right there. That was not a prosperity consciousness. The call for tickets. And then all of a sudden complain for the $7, you see? But I caught myself doing that. So you have to decide if that will help your prosperity consciousness to have the limo or to save that money. But when I do that, what do? You immediately know that you're going to get the $7 back. If you take the limo, you have to know that the money is always there coming in to take the trip. You have to remember that we don't live in an either-or universe. We live in an either-or world. But you are not in this world. So don't do that to yourself. Either I can do this or I can do that. You can do both. Remember, the whole definition of prosperity is to be able to do what you want, when you want, with whom you want, and as many times as you want. That is what prosperity is about, and that's the freedom that you have when you have prosperity and money, that you're able to do that. So you don't shut yourself off and say, well, if I do that, I can't do this. You have to say, I want to do both of these, and I know that there's a way to do this. And I may not know the way, but I know that the power that I am connected to knows the way, and the money is coming to me now to do that. I did not know that this check was going to come. I knew a check was going to come. I just knew that part. But I never figured it would be for $1,000. But as soon as I got it, I immediately said, thank you very much. And I said, well, there's that $1,000 that's come right back to me. And I didn't begrudge that $1,000 that I gave away. Every time it came into my mind, wanting me to say, aren't you stupid? You could have done something with that, Dallas. You could have gotten that this done or that done. I said, stop it. I gave that money freely. And I did not allow my mind to tear that whole thing apart. And now, the money's back again. And that's what you have to know about money. It only goes out and does something and comes back to you. But what most people are doing is they think it has to come back from the person you gave it to. When you give somebody money, give it to them. Never give it to them with strings attached. Give it to them knowing that you're going to get that back. If not from them, from somebody else. But it's always going to come back to you.
When you gave that money, there was a feeling attached to it, wasn't there?
Yes.
A good feeling.
I was delighted to give that money away because it built my prosperity consciousness. And I love to write large checks. You know, the first time I ever wrote a check for $1,000, my hand shook. I thought, oh my God, $1,000. How could I do that? Now I can write $1,000, $10,000. I can write these checks. Do that at home and see if you can write out a check that big. Especially if you only have $2 in the bank.
About the $7.
Yes.
If they had told you. If they had told you the check was $33, $34, it wouldn't have bothered you. It was because they itemized the $7.
Yes.
So is that still prosperity consciousness? Is that still. That's still to do with prosperity consciousness?
I don't understand the question.
In other words,
the $7?
It didn't bother you that you had to pay $7 extra if they had said the ticket
cost. Oh, if it would have been on the ticket cost.
Right.
No, it would, because I wouldn't have known.
Right.
But when they said that, then my mind immediately, and that was not a prosperous thought. So I changed that thought and I released that, and I'll never do that to myself again. But I caught myself in that. Mm-hmm. You see?
So, now if there was a way to get that ticket without paying $7,
yes.
And you went to the window, because
yes.
I know exactly what you're saying. Now, is it better? It's like the latte thing. You go buy a latte every day, and that's something you feel good about. But I know personally, I cut that out, and I know exactly how much money I save a year.
Yes.
Because I don't buy a latte every
day.
It's hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
Oh, absolutely.
I calculate every dollar.
Yes.
So now, with that $7, if you could to raise your prosperity conscious or whatever, if you could have found a way to get that ticket, which gives you what you want, with saved without like going to the door or going to the buy it at the door versus over the phone, would you have done that? And that that's it. That would.
I would have certainly, and that's prosperity consciousness. Anytime you save money, it's a prosperity consciousness. I was not about ready to get in the car and go out to UCLA and drive back again just to get a ticket. It's for, to save that money.
Right.
So I did it.
More money in gas and parking.
Yes. So I did it. It was, it was convenient, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, if you can get it. And I could have probably sat down and got the tickets for nothing. But I was too lazy to apply that. The principles at that time.
But if it had been a Hollywood Bowl, you would have just gone down and gotten.
Oh, yes.
Like I'd go to the Pasadena.
Right, if it's right, yes, of course.
So, for example, the other day I bought a few dresses and they were like $200 each dress, but I paid $6 for each dress. But I leave the tags on to look at the $200 and I tell myself, ooh, I have a $200 dress.
Yes.
So am I expanding my prosperity?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Bargainsandlay.com.
Yeah.
Bargainsandlay.com. Bargainsandlay.com.
I just had a thought when you said that over the Okay, you made a couple comments. You said if you don't get a latte, you could save $100 a month, and that's $1,200 a year, and that's a prosperity consciousness. Now, you can also, is it the literal thing, or is it how you hold it in your mind that if you thought I'm spending money and I'm prosperously, I'm comfortable buying the latte because I know money flows freely and I know even I can have my cake and eat it too. I'm going to buy my latte and I'm going to save $100 a month.
It is tricky, and it is exciting.
It's how you think of it. If you, and either one could be okay if you follow it through. You might think, I'm going to be prosperous and not buy the latte because I'm going to save $100 this month. Or you can think, money flows freely. I'm spending, I'll buy you a latte too.
I'll take one. No, it's absolutely. How is it going on in your mind? How are you doing that? But I was just mentioning not to do that. If you want a stack, if you want to see a stack of bills pile up, that is one way to do it. Let something go that you're spending that money on. Most people spend every cent that they have. Most people spend every cent that they have.
And even if they don't have. Is it the fact that they're spending everything they have so they have nothing, and they're spending it with fear? If you spend it with money flows freely, I have enough money, I can spend it. Even if you're the same income, these two people.
Yes.
If you think, I have money.
Yeah.
Is that what we're talking about? More than the...
What we're talking about is stretching your consciousness. And you have to stretch your consciousness constantly with money. You can make $20,000 and live like you're making $1 million. Or you can make $20,000 and live like a pauper. It depends where your consciousness is, and it depends how you're stretching your consciousness and what you're allowing into your life. But the idea, you have to learn to save something. It doesn't have to be a large sum of money. But you cannot build a prosperity consciousness if you are not saving money, because the universe knows that and your mind knows that regardless. And it says you're spending every damn cent you make and you don't need it. And you can save a little, and you can do something. When you start saving just a little, you'll start having what's called a savings consciousness. And you'll certainly start to see, isn't this the easiest thing I ever did? And you'll get excited as the money that piles up and piles up and piles up and piles up. By the way, last week I said you must keep money in every wallet that you have and every purse that you have. You must keep something in there. And I said I have at least, what, 7 wallets, I think. You saw my 7 wallets. What is in them?
Money.
You have to do that so that you can say, all my wallets are filled with money. Now, does it have to be $2,000? Or $100. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you're able to say, there is money in every one of my wallets. And your mind's, oh, he's got money in every one of his wallets. And then you say, I save money easy and effortlessly. I never deny myself of anything. And money just keeps stacking up for me. And I just keep getting money, 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 money.
I want to share with you some strange phenomenon that I found, however, that if I only have one wallet, the thinner that wallet is, the more money I have.
Yes.
Why is that?
Because that's in your consciousness, and that's a belief system that you have. And the belief system will always work its way out.
Okay. Because the simplicity of a thinner wallet is just my mind is less cluttered, and money goes into savings accounts and stuff. And I've got money in my wallet, you know. But I just don't like having that big fat thing with all those papers in there. So the thinner it is, the more money I have.
Yes. A wallet to choke a horse. You should have nice looking wallets, people.
A wallet to choke a horse.
People pull out wallets that look awful. Yeah. Don't do that.
Well, last week I went home to see, because you said it should be all of a round, I went home to look in my room, and I have the original $50 that Thomas handed out in the card that you handed it out in, and it's at my altar. And then I started counting, and I was like, oh my gosh, there's like $1,300 in my room. And I didn't even know that. I had no idea how much I knew there was some, but I was like, then I started putting it, organizing it, and so now I organize my money in my pocket, all face up, and I'm like so aware that usually I just shove them in my pocket or whatever. Now I'm consciously aware of how to treat it.
Money always organized and always going in the same direction. Always straighten your money out. The money in your wallet. Always straighten it. Ones, fives, tens, twenties. All faces always going the same way. That's showing respect for money. Did you put that back there? No. Now you'll notice that money is on a little silver tray. And that little silver tray has feet. So what I have done is I have elevated that money. And anyone that's been to my home, you know that I elevate everything that's in my home. Nothing in my home sits by itself. It always sits on an elevated stand. I can take a 50-cent object and put it on an elevated stand and people will think it's $1 million. You must elevate everything and your consciousness at the same time. Elevate things. Elevate. Now, back to this treatment again, so that we know. You must always start where you are. And start from there. Then, love everything that you have. Love where you live. Never say, I live in a shack, a dingy place, or anything. You sit and you love where you are. As soon as you start loving that place will change. You will either move to a better place or things will start to collect themselves in that home. And you will make that home absolutely marvelous. The whole idea in life is to learn to live opulently. You must learn to live opulently so that everywhere you look you see beauty. And you see beauty in your home. But you have to start. If it's just an old broken down chair in the middle of the room, you sit and you think of that chair as the best piece of furniture you ever had. It's an antique piece of furniture. It belonged to Louis XIV and you just love it. And lo and behold, things will start to change around you. But they don't change when you don't love where you are and when you don't love what you have. People are afraid to love what they have because they think, oh, it's not worth it. Why would you have anything in your life that wasn't worth it? Don't have things in your life that aren't worth it. And if you have things in your life, make it worth it. Elevate it. Put it on a stand. And you'll see all the difference in the world. I have some copies that I handed out before. And the ones, people who don't know about treatment, you can have those again. And we'll keep doing this treatment work. Because it absolutely works. The same way with affirmations. Is everyone still doing their affirmations? How many people in here, and I don't think you're doing it, how many people in here is writing on their checks, God bless and multiply this money quickly? You don't know it because you've never heard it before. That's why I'm bringing that up. Because when we get new people, we have to keep telling them. I've used that for I don't know how many years, over 30. And I have never run out of money in 30 years because of writing that on my checks. Now, is it a gimmick? Who knows? Who cares?
That's right. If it works,
if it works, I could care less as long as it works.
God bless and multiply.
God bless and multiply this money quickly.
Every time you do it, you have to think of it.
Yes, every time you do it, you have to think of it. And you have to know that God is the source of everything, and that that money is freely circulating, and that money is your money, and it's always going to be there, and it's always going to come to you. That's how you break out of a limited consciousness of lack and limitation. You break out of it through doing these simple things so that you see things differently.
So is that when you're also writing your bills?
Yes.
You write them in.
Yeah, sure. Yes. Oh, absolutely. Because money is God in action. When you write out a bill to the gas company, you have to say, oh, thank God I have the money to write this out, and look what it's doing. It's paying somebody else's salary. It's feeding somebody else's kids. It's doing this, 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 and this. And this is God in action going out. And I am helping the whole world by writing out this check. And then you change your whole mind about what money is. Money is only energy. It means absolutely nothing except what you think that it means. This stack of bills can be anything that you want. So it can be $100, it can be $1,000, or it can be $2,000. But do this type of thing for yourself. Everyone, when you go to the bank this week, ask for some money wrappers. Keep them around. And then all of a sudden you'll be able to wrap money. You'll be able to wrap the money. But just to know, you have to know that these things existed. There's such a thing as a money wrapper, and you have to know what denominations that you can get. There's a $500 money wrapper also. But you have to know that these things exist, and you have to get familiar with them. Most people are frightened of money. Most people are frightened of large sums of money. You can't be frightened of money. I know you love money. And isn't that wonderful? We have to learn to love money. So with these, do these. Has this helped with your treatment work now? And again, you just keep adding to the treatment work. You have to put the emotions, you have to put the feelings, and you have to live at the level of your demonstration. And you have to start where you are and love what you have. And as soon as you do that, things will happen. Well, everything will change for you. We have about 2 minutes for tonight's topic. Yes, we'll see. Took too long to get that money around. So quickly, I will do a treatment for you. And this is what I know, believe, and accept for myself. I have a trust fund. I have a wonderful trust fund, and that trust fund pays me large dividends. It pays me large dividends constantly. And that trust fund is the trust that I have in the universe, in the trust that I have in this thing, God, to realize that I truly am one with prosperity and abundance, and I'm one with my money. And I open myself now to receive. Every cell of my body is anxious to receive money. My whole body is thrilled, and I am thrilled that money is always with me, and that money will always be with me. I give up any fear. I give up anything to the contrary. I know perfectly well that I'm loving, I am worthy, and I am deserving. And that is all I need to know. To receive and to receive and to receive. And I let that be so right here and right now. And so it is. So you do treatments. You do them. And you keep doing them. 1 minute. Tonight's topic was buts. B-U-T-S. And buts are what gets us into trouble every time. Because we say we're going to do something, but we don't do it because the mind comes up with buts. Drop buts, ands, and ifs from your vocabulary. Words always structure thought. And ands, ifs, and buts are a clever little device that your ego has come up with to stop you from having what you want. The ego mind and the world out there does not want you to have what you want. It does not want you to have that. or you would already have it. But you come up with buts. I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm too fat, I'm too thin, I'm too good looking, I'm too ugly, I'm too this, I'm too that, I don't have enough money, but if I had money I could do this, if I did, but this happened and that happened, but you don't understand, I came from the wrong side of the tracks, but you don't understand, my mother hated me, oh my father beat me, but you don't understand, but. Get rid of the buts. Get rid of all blames. Sit down and forgive yourself completely for any of that nonsense that you were putting yourself through. And forgive all those people. They did the very best they can. And yes, some of them were absolutely raving idiots. But it doesn't matter. You have to forgive them. You are now an adult. Your consciousness is growing. Your intelligence is growing. Now grow up emotionally and get rid of all that crap you're carrying around with you, which you don't need. If you have all that mental crap going on and all that emotional crap going on, you are never going to make money. You are never going to succeed in this life because all your energy is going to blaming somebody else. You may never blame anyone in this world because you are always the cause under your own experience. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Got it in.